Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing show and tell, how Jesus Christ is our only example. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, God. Father, I thank you for all of your grace and mercy that we experience today, God. Father, I thank you for you preparing us for a great night's sleep, God. Father, I thank you for you having gone before us into tomorrow, and I thank you for what you have in store for us, God. Father, I thank you for you being the one who keeps us safe, God, and you being the one who keeps us productive and fruitful, God. Father, we thank you for how you prune us and you continually prepare us by removing those things that are in the way of our future growth and development so that we can produce more fruit for you. Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire to use the power of the Holy Spirit within us so that we can produce signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth, God. And Father, I thank you for you allowing us to produce more love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control in our life as we serve you and please you and trust you and obey you. Father, I thank you for someone being delivered by tonight's teaching, and I thank you for your word having its intended effect as it goes forth tonight. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. I worship the shifting.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carr. Tonight, we're going to be discussing show and tell, which is basically Jesus Christ's example to us of exactly what we should be doing for God and obedience to Him, our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. It is important for us to understand that things are not always as they seem in the world. And the world will tell you that certain things are important. And that's why God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to show us exactly what was important to Him, exactly what to do, and to tell us, to command us, to do the things that His Father would have us to do. And God says that when we do what His Son Jesus Christ says, that He loves us. So we want to get to the point where our desire is to be loved by God because we obey Him by obeying the commands of His Son Jesus Christ. So each and every one of us, we have a mission, which is to find out exactly what Jesus Christ's example was to us, exactly what did Jesus Christ command us to do so that we can be fruitful in our walk, in our relationship with God, and we can be among those people who call themselves blessed and highly favored. In fact, one of the things that really stands out to me is Jesus Christ's example of suffering. As human beings, we all suffer from time to time, either from old age or from illness or from loss or from stress or from disease or from war or from famine. A host of ailments may plague us during the course of our lifetime. And it is learning how to suffer and appreciating why we suffer, because things aren't always going to be nice and neat and clean and comfortable. And during those times when things aren't nice and neat and clean and comfortable, we have to appreciate the fact that God is still right there with us. And the question is, are we still right there with God? Are we only going to be fair-weather Christians when things are good, when things are okay, then we believe God is with us? But when things are not okay, do we understand that God is still with us and that is still enough, right? So there are things that Jesus Christ had to be very specific in showing and demonstrating for us so that there was no room for doubt. There was no ability for anyone to come in with smooth talking and talk you out of what Jesus Christ was commanding His disciples to do. And I will tell you that not only was Jesus Christ a great example, but His disciples were great disciples. They were disciplined followers. As we read throughout the Gospels and we read in the book of Acts after the day of Pentecost, you see how they grew in stature and how after the Holy Spirit filled them with power, that they used the power that they had within them and they obeyed the commands of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And they produced signs, miracles, and wonders throughout the earth. And that caused the church to grow exponentially. And it caused people to be healed even after Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and seated at his Father's right hand in heaven. And that was the beginning of the expansion of the church, the expansion of this heavenly kingdom of many nations. So I want to start tonight's teaching in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. And I'm going to be reading here where it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." And see, Christ, he suffered for us, and he showed us an example of how to suffer so that we could follow his example. When Jesus Christ was being beat, when he was being spit upon, when he was having insults hurled at him, he did not spit back. He did not retaliate. He simply endured patiently his suffering. And it was because he knew it was for a purpose. He was in the process of redeeming all of mankind from the damage that was done by Adam, our forefather. And Jesus Christ suffered for us so that he could leave us an example of how to suffer correctly and to conquer the enemy of pride. And see, pride is really what started all this nonsense in the beginning when God created Lucifer, the angel of light. He was the archangel in heaven. And he was given great majesty. He was the worship leader in heaven. And that was the height of his being. Now, over millennia, over time, his pride allowed him to believe that he could overthrow God. And in his attempt to overthrow God, he was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels that followed him. And from that point on, what you see is this descent from one low to another low to another low. The first low, after he was cast out of heaven, was when he deceived Eve and caused Adam to sin. And God commanded that he would be on his belly for the rest of his days and that he would eat dust for the rest of his days. And that was his punishment for touching mankind whom God loved. And for a prideful being to be in a position where he is dwelling on his belly and he is eating dust and basically looking up to those who he is over. That has to be a special type of demotion, a special type of suffering. But he doesn't stop there. He just keeps going, keeps going, keeps going. And in Revelation, there's a verse that says that when this is all said and done, we're going to look down on the devil and we're going to say, "Is this the one who made the nations of the world quake with fear?" And that is something that we should look forward to, because today the devil is trying to present himself as someone who, as a being who has more power than he actually has. And we have to remember that after Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, after being in the stone tomb dead for 3 days and three nights, that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead, seated him at his right hand, gave him all power in heaven, all power in earth, and all power under the earth. And this was the beginning of the administration that we're in now, the grace administration. So Jesus Christ suffered to leave us an example of how to suffer correctly and to conquer the enemy of pride so that we don't fall into the same path of losership as the devil. And we're supposed to follow Jesus Christ's example. See, we are called disciples of Jesus Christ. And to be a disciple is to be a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. If you look at the example of Jesus Christ's disciples during the Gospels, during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see how they were developing. You see how there were points in their development where Jesus Christ had to say, "Oh, ye of little faith," and admonish them and rebuke them and correct them so that they could grow up and they could see that everything he was saying was true. And after he was raised from the dead, he actually spent 40 days with the disciples before the day of Pentecost, before they received the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Go and wait for me in Jerusalem." And they went and they waited for 10 days before the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And see, when that power arrived, it enabled them to do all the things that God was asking them to do. Because God would not ask you to do something that wasn't possible for you to do. And all things are possible through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, the power of the Holy Spirit that we got as a result of making Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. So being a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ is the opposite of pride. It is us humbling ourselves to the authority of the Word of God and making Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Master and Lord. And when we do this, God says that when we humble ourselves, that he will exalt us at the appointed time. And see, it is a matter of us producing that fruit of the Spirit of patience in our life so that we can endure hardship as good soldiers, so that at the appointed time we can be exalted, we can be rewarded, we can actually not just be glorified in eternity. But God is saying at the appointed time here on earth, your obedience will be acknowledged because God needs others to know that he is faithful and he stands behind his word and what he said is true. Look at what it says here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked." So if you abide in Christ, you are to walk just like Jesus Christ walked. And that's important. If you say with your mouth that you're with Jesus Christ, then you should walk like Jesus Christ walked. And that is a walk of humility. That is a walk of selflessness. That is a walk of submission to God. And you stay focused on your purpose. See, our purpose as children of God is that we are to be faithful ministers of reconciliation, to win the lost back to Christ so that God can fulfill his master plan of creating his heavenly kingdom of many nations and establish the mandate that he will dwell with his chosen people, his children, and his children will dwell with him. And see, if you know that you've been called by God, that is a tremendous privilege. Look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. And that is important for us to understand that we are to follow God as his dear children. And understanding that a child just wants the love in the presence of their father. And when we understand that God's presence is enough, our expectation is for his love to extend to us as a result of our obedience to his word. Look at what it says here and also the other thing is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the prototype. He is the standard. He is the example. If you ever want a question about what to say or what to do, I highly recommend that you get a copy of the Red Letter Bible, where all of the words that Jesus Christ spoke are in red, and just pay attention to those. Focus on exactly what Jesus Christ said, because that is going to empower you to know that, hey, what he said is the standard, and everything else will not deviate from that standard. See, Jesus Christ loved us. Jesus Christ gave himself as an offering to God for us. Jesus Christ gave himself as a sacrifice to God for us as a sweet-smelling savor. That's what it says here in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Now, if we go a little further in the word to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he was spirit just like God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." So when Jesus Christ was sent to be born of a virgin, he changed his form from being spirit like God to becoming a human being like you and I. And he started from the beginning, from being conceived within the womb of Mary. And in the word, in the gospels, it refers to Jesus Christ at that point as a holy thing. It's amazing. And it says, "But he made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." So he humbled himself from being in the form of God, in the presence of God, to be sent here on this assignment to redeem all of mankind. And it says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." See, Jesus Christ's example is that he humbled himself and accepted his assignment. And we should share this same humble mindset of Jesus Christ toward God. Whatever God asks us to do, we should do. We should obey God in all things, even in death, as Jesus Christ was obedient. And so the mandate would be to die on your feet, to die peacefully, to die with God on your mind, to die looking forward to the return of God's Son, Jesus Christ, but to die as a result of living a more than abundant life because you obey God. And when you obey God, you truly live a more than abundant life, first spiritually, then mentally, then emotionally, then physically, then financially. And what you see is that all of these things are connected. We share in the same humble mindset of Jesus Christ toward God, and we obey God in all things, even unto death, as Jesus Christ was obedient to God in all things. And for us, we also have to understand that Jesus Christ was the living Word of God. He was the example of what God is trying to convey and communicate throughout the entire Word of God. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. the scripture is the written word of God. Before the scripture was written, it was written in the stars, but it was the spoken word of God as soon as it proceeded from the mouth of God. And so now, throughout all of time, we have been exposed to what God's heart is for us. And when we look at this, we look in the scripture, look at what it says here in Mark chapter 10, verses 43 to 45, And it says, "But so shall it be, shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, this is fascinating because this is the exact opposite of how it is in the world, right? If someone is the greatest among you in the world, then when you're in their presence, you that's who you serve because they have the power, right? And in the kingdom, it says it's not going to be like that among you. It says whoever is going to be great among you is going to be your minister. And whoever will be the chiefest shall be servant of you all. It says even further that for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So if we look at this closely, we see how the person who ministers to others will be the greatest among God's people. The person who is the servant of others will be the chiefest among God's people. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, came to minister to his people and give his life for the freedom of many. See, he wasn't suffering for nothing. His suffering was for everything. And that is why the unforgivable sin is rejecting that payment for everybody's sin. When Jesus Christ died, he died for everybody's sin. But God knew who was going to accept his son Jesus Christ as their master. And he also knew who was going to reject his son Jesus Christ as their master in pride. And those people disqualify themselves. They have committed the unforgivable sin when you reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you renounce Jesus Christ. That's it. Now you're a child of the devil and subject to the rules of the house of the devil, right? So look at what it says here in John chapter 13, verses 14 to 15. It says, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you." And this is amazing because you would never hear of something like this. You would never hear of Caesar or the Queen of England or the President of the United States washing their servants' feet. That would never happen. Washing their cabinets' feet. That would never happen. But look at what Jesus Christ says. He says, if Jesus Christ washed his servants' feet and he was their Lord and Master, he expects his disciplined followers, us, to wash each other's feet. We've been given Jesus Christ's example of exactly what God expects us to do. There is no room for interpretation here where we could say, well, he was speaking metaphorically. No. He is showing us exactly what to do. And it shows us how when we get our hearts in the right place, then we're prepared to truly humble ourselves and follow Jesus Christ's example and lead. I can tell you that I've attended a few churches in my life over the past 56 years, and I've only attended one church that actually did feet washing of each other's feet. And I'm ashamed to say that 25 years ago when I attended this church, I wasn't spiritually mature enough to believe that this was necessary. And so I did not attend the foot washing service where we were expected to wash one another's feet. And I know now that I was wrong. We should always seek to follow Jesus Christ's example. And it's awesome when we have opportunities in the church to do that in a very specific way. One of the reasons why foot washing is so important is because there are people who can't reach their feet. There are people who can't see their feet. And if you can wash someone else's feet, you can help to minister to them and make them aware of some places of need that really affect their actual existence. But your humility is what you're really demonstrating there, to show that you are in agreement with God by following the example of his son, Jesus Christ. And, you know, sometimes we have to make mistakes like this where we miss opportunities and we learn. We learn that, oh, at that time I should have gone to the foot washing service. I should have washed my brother and sisters in Christ's feet, and there would have been a blessing for me and greater levels of understanding as I obeyed. And so that's why it's important for us to study the life of Jesus Christ and listen to his commands and what he says, because it's going to be a blessing to us. Even when we don't fully understand, when we just do what he says to do, look at what it says here in John 13, verses 14 and 15. It says, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Now, that's pretty clear. It's pretty specific. And it's in being so specific that we should just learn to submit and obey. And look at what it says here in John 13:34. It says, a new commandment I give to you, says Jesus Christ, that ye love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So we're to love one another as Jesus Christ loved us. And that's pretty extreme. Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Master, commands us to love each other as he loved, and he commanded his disciples to love each other as he loved them. He loved them unto death. And if you look at certain communities, certain groups of people in your life, right? You'll see how people tend to care for one another. And that if you look at groups where people are taking care of one another, then it makes others want to be a part of those groups. Because it is common for people to be selfish. It is common for people to be self-serving. It is common for people to do their own thing and look out for me, myself, and I. But it is uncommon to look out for others. It is uncommon to minister to others. And you'll find one of the most amazing things is in groups of people who claim no allegiance to God. They don't acknowledge God at all. They, in their common misery, will care for one another in a very surprising way. I think you'd be convicted and surprised to see how this is one of the ways that they recruit people to follow their lifestyle, is by showing a degree of care and concern that would go a little further than what we would typically expect one another in the regular world. And this type of identification with mutual suffering is the kind of thing that I believe we would see as Christians if we accepted our assignment to suffer well, to suffer as Christ suffered, where we did not revile, where we did not retaliate, where we did not fight back. And we let God fight those battles. And if God said, this is your final battle, we would do like Stephen. Deacon Stephen did. He spoke the word unapologetically, and they stoned him for it. And he took it well. And he did not curse the people who stoned him. He forgave them, just as Jesus Christ, his master and Lord, his example did, right? And we're to learn to grow to that stature so that we can be authentic in our Christianity. Otherwise, we're just out here trying to get what we can get and using the Bible as a meal ticket. That's not God's plan at all. God's plan is for you to live a more than abundant life and be fruitful, exceedingly fruitful, with the fruit of the Spirit. All of the love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control that God can get from you, he expects from you. Look at what it says here in Romans chapter 15, verses 5 to 7. It says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. This is so important, and this is so fundamental to know that we are to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, so that we with one mind and may with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, God, as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is glorified when we obey the words of his Son, Jesus Christ. And it says, wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So we're to love each other as Christ loved us. And we were enemies of God before he chose us. And yet he still chose us, right? And he was patient. Remember his frustration with his disciples when he was on earth and he was teaching them. And they were repeatedly coming to false conclusions and operating in little or no faith and questioning and doubting and misinterpreting what he was saying. And he understood their position because they had not yet been empowered with, or they had not yet been endued with power from on high. They had not yet received the Holy Spirit. The Comforter had not yet come to them. So look what it says here in Colossians 3:13. It says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And we have to be prepared to forgive one another because we're all at different levels of spiritual maturity and development and growth. And we have to give other people room to grow, just like somebody had to give us room to grow. We didn't just show up on the spot, totally regenerated and ready to go. And we're all growing from grace to grace and faith to faith, and our capacity is being expanded as others who have experienced more of God's grace and mercy have paved the way for us and taught us and encouraged us and shown us examples of how to follow Christ's example, right? See, we only follow other people as they follow Christ. If they don't follow Christ's example, we don't follow their example. As a matter of fact, we follow Christ's example. That's why we must study the Word of God. Look at what it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 to 3. It says, looking unto Christ, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. Lest we ye be wearied and faint in your minds. See, what keeps us from being weary and fainting in our mind when things get hard, when things get troubling, when things are challenging, we have to remember that Jesus Christ endured that payment for our faith. He is, as the author and finisher of our faith, he endured the pain of the cross, the suffering of the cross, the shame of the cross. And after he endured that, he sat down at the right hand of God, and God gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. So we're not suffering for nothing, right? So just as he suffered, we are to patiently endure so that we can share in the glory as well as the suffering. Look at what it says, and I want to end here. In John chapter 14, verse 15 to 17, it says, and Jesus Christ says this. He says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will be with you forever. That helper is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it does not see or know him. You know him because he lives with you and will be in you. And this was Jesus Christ speaking before the day of Pentecost. What that means is that the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit is within those of us who obey Jesus Christ's commandments. And we are in this special place because we know him and he lives within us and he is in us and with us. And we're not alone. And so we have to look at what Jesus Christ said in John 14, 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So when you reject the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you're rejecting the words of his Father, God Almighty, who sent him in the first place. So we have to really just grow up and get to the point that we look at Jesus Christ's example as he showed us and told us what to do. Show and tell of Jesus Christ. There was no doubt. We are to wash one another's feet. We are to serve one another. We are to support those and acknowledge those who are serving and ministering to many, and not get in this cult mindset where we are there to serve the people who say they're the leader. The leader is the one who's doing the work that Jesus Christ gave them to do. The one who is putting forth the ministry, doing the work. And he's not there to be served, or she's not there to be served. They're there to serve. They're there to minister. And that is a very real truth. Now, if you look at the world's definition of things, whoever the leader is the one who is being served, and he directs others to serve. Well, we allow Jesus Christ to direct us, and Jesus Christ is our master. Jesus Christ is our Lord, and those of us who follow his direction, we minister to others. We win them to the kingdom. We love them back to life. And as a result of that, we are storing our riches in heaven, and we are producing in our life more of the fruit of the Spirit, more love, more joy, more gentleness, more meekness, more kindness, more patience, more faithfulness, more self-control. And that is allowing others to be one for the kingdom. We are in this place where we are no longer slaves to the flesh, but we are bondservants. We are what's referred to as doulos. We are bond slaves, and we are bound to do what our master Jesus Christ has given us to do. And as disciplined followers of Jesus Christ, we do what he gave us as an example to do in the word. So the next time I get an opportunity to attend a foot washing and wash my brother and sister's feet, I'm going to do that. And that is something that is going to be a blessing to me, because that is obedience to the example of Jesus Christ. And I repent of having not attended that foot washing that I was given the opportunity to go to, because I missed an opportunity to see another dimension of godliness that is rooted in reality. And when we get to the point where we begin to take God's word literally, then the blessings that come with that are going to literally show up in our life. And we're not going to have any question about why it is beneficial to obey God. It is beneficial to obey God because he has unlimited blessings to bestow upon his children when we follow the commands of his son, Jesus Christ. But we have to do all things decently and in order. And when we act out of lawlessness, when we believe we can just do whatever we want, however we want to, and give God whatever's left, the scraps, God is not going to accept that, no more than we would accept it. So we got to get real with God and give God exactly what he's asking for. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you to have a great night's sleep and to ponder some of these words that we've shared about Jesus Christ's example to each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight. I thank you for you giving us a desire to serve you and please you and trust you and obey you, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire to really be in a place of humility and authenticity with you. I thank you for you being present in our life, and I thank you for you continuing to develop us in your word in a way that glorifies you. I thank you for this in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Be ye transformed.
Yeah.